and the bold inhabitants, while they were invested by land, launched their boats, pillaged the opposite coast of Cyzicus, and sold their captives in the public market. But on the approach of Muhammad himself, all were silent and prostrate. He first halted at a distance of 5 miles, and from thence, advancing in battle array, planted before the gate of St. Romanus the imperial standard, and on the 6th day of April formed the memorable siege of Constantinople. In her last decay, Constantinople was still peopled with more than 100,000 inhabitants. But these numbers are found in the accounts not of war but of captivity, and they mostly consisted of mechanics, of priests, of women, and of men devoid of that spirit which even women have sometimes exerted for the common safety. I can suppose, I could almost excuse, the reluctance of subjects to serve on a distant frontier at the will of a tyrant. But the man who dares not expose his life in the defence of his children and his property has lost in society the first and most active energies of nature. By the Emperor's command, a particular inquiry had been made through the streets and houses, how many of the citizens, or even of the monks, were able and willing to bear arms for their country. The lists were entrusted to Franza, and, after a diligent addition, he informed his master, with grief and surprise, that the national defence was reduced to 4,970 Romans. Between Constantine and his faithful minister, this comfortless secret was preserved, and a sufficient proportion of shields, crossbows, and muskets was distributed from the arsenal to the city bands. They derived some accession from a body of 2,000 strangers, under the command of John Justiniani, a noble Genoese. A liberal donative was advanced to these auxiliaries, and a princely recompense, the Isle of Lemnos, was promised to the valour and victory of their chief. A strong chain was drawn across the mouth of the harbour. It was supported by some Greek and Italian vessels of war and merchandise, and the ships of every Christian nation that successively arrived from Candia and the Black Sea were detained for the public service. Against the powers of the Ottoman Empire, a city of the extent of 13, perhaps of 16 miles, was defended by a scanty garrison of 7,000 or 8,000 soldiers. Europe and Asia were open to the besiegers, but the strength and provisions of the Greeks must sustain a daily decrease, nor could they indulge the expectation of any foreign succour or supply. The primitive Romans would have drawn their swords in the resolution of death or conquest. The primitive Christians might have embraced each other and awaited in patience and charity the stroke of martyrdom. But the Greeks of Constantinople were animated only by the spirit of religion, and that spirit was productive only of animosity and discord. Before his death, the emperor John Palaeologus had renounced the unpopular measure of a union with the Latins. Nor was the idea revived till the distress of his brother Constantine imposed a last trial of flattery and dissimulation. With a demand of temporal aid, his ambassadors were instructed to mingle the assurance of spiritual obedience. His neglect of the church was excused by the urgent cares of the state, and his orthodox wishes solicited the presence of a Roman legate. The Vatican had been too often deluded. Yet the signs of repentance could not decently be overlooked. A legate was more easily granted than an army. And about 6 months before the final destruction, the Cardinal Isidore of Russia appeared in that character with a retinue of priests and soldiers. The emperor saluted him as a friend and father, respectfully listened to his public and private sermons, and, with the most obsequious of the clergy and laymen, subscribed the Act of Union, as it had been ratified in the Council of Florence. On the 12th of December, the two nations in the Church of St. Sophia joined in the communion of sacrifice and prayer, and the names of the two pontiffs were solemnly commemorated, the names of Nicholas V, the Vicar of Christ, and of the Patriarch Gregory, who had been driven into exile by a rebellious people. Of the triangle which composes the figure of Constantinople, the two sides along the sea were made inaccessible to an enemy, the Propontis by nature and the harbour by art. Between the two waters,